us to reaffirm our faith in our country. I pledge to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Assemblymember Gilbert. Ceremonial matters tonight. We have the Wrangell Public Schools District Fiscal Year 2021 Annual Budget. Lisa, do you want to walk us through that?
I'll just quickly review for the Assembly. This is just the presentation of their budget. Debbie was dealing with other issues, and so she was unable to participate this evening. But the school district wanted to make sure we have their budget, and we will be dealing with this formally as it comes up in future work sessions. But the Assembly has it to review. And if you, once you've had a chance to take a look at it, if you have any concerns or questions or would like us to follow up with the district in any way to get additional information, please let myself or Kim know, and we can certainly reach out.
Excellent. Does anybody have any questions for Lisa? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number two, roll call, please, Kim.
Hey, boss. Julie has her hand up.
Oh, Julie.
Julie, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm struggling with the proper procedure here. Mr. Mayor, I just had a question for the borough manager. The school budget that is in the packet, is it the same that they presented at the workshop, or is it, if it had any changes?
Assembly Member Decker, I do not know the answer to that question. I will have to find out.
Okay, thank you.
This is Patty.
Go ahead, Patty.
I can tell you there's one change. The bus contract came under budget, and it reflects the amount of money that the school district gets from the state. So there was about a $30,000 decrease, good to the school. So that's the only change.
Excellent. Thanks, Patty. Anybody else have any other questions for the manager or for Patty, for that matter? Okay. We're going to move on to item number two, roll call, please. Kim?
Okay. Assembly Member Gilbert?
Present.
Morrison? Assembly Member Morrison?
Present.
Ann, are you on the
present.
Line?
Yeah, it was muted. It muted itself. So present.
Thank you.
I muted you. Sorry. okay, Assembly Member Stallone.
Present.
Decker.
Here.
Howell.
Here.
Leardy.
Here.
And Mayor Patonka.
Here. Persons to be heard. Kim, do we have any? Anybody signed up under persons to be heard?
No, we have no one signed up.
Okay. No one signed up, person to be heard. Amendments to the agenda.
I move, this is Patty, do you hear me?
Yes, got you, Patty.
Okay, I move to amend the agenda by removing agenda item 15A, executive session, regarding collective bargaining strategy.
Second. Do we have a second? We moved to second. And Lisa, we need to do this by motion? Okay. Lisa, do you want to explain why we're removing that?
Sure. Members of the Assembly, I just wanted to let everybody know at this time, there's really too much going on related to the coronavirus for us to be focusing on this. And so we will get back to you with this as soon as we possibly can. We will be working with the union to get something in writing between the two of us, an agreement that while coronavirus is taking precedent, we acknowledge that we may have to, both hold off for now. And my assumption is that is happening with other agencies around the state as well. So we will confirm with you that we have concurrence from the union to do that, but that's our intent right now.
Thank you, Lisa. Anybody have any questions for Lisa regarding that? Hearing none, Poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Consent agenda. Motion for the consent agenda, please.
I move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
The move we have a second. I think I heard Assembly Member Gilbert there. Was that you?
Correct. Yes.
Correct. Thank you. Discussion? Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Pachanka?
Yes. Item number 7 is Borough Manager's Report, but at this point I'm going to just break in to have, I've asked a couple of folks to come and give the community an update regarding our preparedness for the coronavirus outbreak that the nation is currently experiencing. And I'd like to start with Letha, who's our hospital administrator. Letha, are you on the line?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the Assembly. There's so much information to share. I will try and keep it pretty high level, but if you have specific questions, I'd be happy to answer them after my report. So in regard to surge preparedness as a consortium across Southeast, we feel we are very well prepared. We do meet a couple of times a week at the corporate-wide level, talking about supplies, anything we're low on, any new changes that have come over the last couple of days, any changes around policy and procedure within our facilities. In regard to locally, we do meet a couple times a week as well. Our management team at the hospital, I do give daily updates to our managers so that they can share the information with their staff every morning at 8:30. Right now, we are currently planning for Tier 3, which the definition of in our disaster plan is one positive confirmed case admitted to the hospital and members of the community. Members being still very vague, we don't have an exact definition of how many would be in the community. But we are planning for alternate care sites if needed and planning for our surge capacity. We have also a plan if needed to move our long-term care residents out of the hospital to keep them safe if we do need the space and be able to surge there. Wrangell Medical Center is on 100% lockdown. So we are operating the long-term care independently from the hospital to keep the staff completely separate. And of course the residents are a little bit sad. So send them messages. I know there's a statewide platform that you could send them messages. People are still sending flowers and whatnot to the residents and talking to them off of the patio, which I thought was really cute and a good idea. Luckily we've had nice weather. So, everybody is asked to come to the emergency room. There is hand sanitizer outside of the ER door. It is locked. You will be screened, including our employees, and asked the typical CDC questions. And if you pass that, you're able to come in, hand sanitize again, and then there's a table, and we will take your temperature as well as ask additional questions. So we really are trying to keep the long-term care residents safe as we can. We did build a physical wall between the acute care and the long-term care side so that our residents are not able to free flowly throughout the building. all of our elective procedures, we were supposed to have a scope clinic down here at the end of the month, this week I think actually, and that has been canceled. And so throughout the consortium, we have canceled all elective procedures. As you know, the health fair has been canceled here in Wrangell. We are still looking at alternative options around doing lab draws, so stay tuned for that on our Facebook. Community members have already started donating face masks. Thank you very much to the community. They are not right now approved by the CDC, but of course we are not turning down anything. As you know, there is a shortage nationwide on personal protective equipment, and so we appreciate the donations thus far, and if you do want to donate, you can feel free to come to the hospital using our screening mechanism, and somebody will be there to greet you at the door. Our pharmacy in town will start curbside pickup as well as home delivery for our elders so that we can continue the social distancing and self-isolation. There have been about 100 tests that have been performed throughout the consortium, throughout search. That's not including Bartlett or Ketchikan. That is just our search locations. And in Wrangell, we have had about a dozen. All that have come back negative. We can't specifically give just due to patient privacy in this community as well as our much smaller communities like Angoon, where they only have a couple hundred, 300-400 people. And so to protect the privacy and the provider privacy, we're not giving really exact numbers out, but I can tell you for sure that we have no positive cases as of today in Wrangell. In regards to our supplies, we have consortium-wide about 1,400 COVID tests, specimen collection supplies, and about 2,000 influenza testing supplies. So we know that our supplies right now are adequate, and as numbers are expected to increase as testing capabilities become more available. We did start the drive-up trailer by the clinic, and it is not something that you can just cruise through and get a test just because of the limited supplies, but we are asking that if you do feel like you need to be tested, to call the clinic, and the clinic will triage you and ask you the CDC questions, and then we will schedule you to be tested at the trailer. Again, this is to keep people out of the emergency room and to keep people out of the clinic as much as we can. In regard to citywide, we have a citywide meeting that CERCH is a part of, Wrangell Medical Center, along with the city manager, the mayor, and the city clerk, as well as the EMS crew, Didi and Chief Buness, and also our public information officer, which is Aaron Angerman. We are trying to put out weekly press releases around updated information. Mind you, everything changes every day, it seems like. So our press releases typically come out on a Thursday or a Friday morning. But if there's something urgent that needs to come out, we will put it out on Facebook via Aaron and Kim. That is all that I have. I'm happy to take questions. I'm sorry, there's so much information, so I tried to keep it pretty high level and local.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Lisa, you have a question?
Certainly. Lisa, my understanding is that CERCH put information out on your information network today about support for people who are unable to attend support meetings like AA and Al-Anon because we can't meet in groups anymore, that there are ways for those people to stay engaged with their networks. Is that correct?
We are setting, it's not in place yet, but it is being worked on because there's something new. It's called the virtual patient room. And that is will be used for behavioral health and eventually primary care. It is attached to our Cerner medical record, and so I'm not aware, but that doesn't mean it's not happening, of other virtual meetings that are taking place.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can get that answer.
Any other? Sorry, Lisa, what was that?
I said I can get that answer for her, though, around AA meetings and such. I mean, those are not typically CERCH sponsored, but I know that we do publish them, so I'm happy to get that information for you, Lisa.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any other assembly members have questions? Okay, well, hearing none, thank you very much, Lisa. I appreciate your time coming down and letting the community know. I just want to, again, thank you and Search, the organization, for doing such an outstanding job of working with the city and helping us to prepare for this. I just can't say enough of what great partners the Search organization has been. It's been a real blessing to have you folks heading this up for us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you to the Assembly. I do have to say we have a great community here, and we have a great team and great incident command in place citywide. So thank you to the Assembly and to you, Mr. Mayor, and Lisa.
Thank you. Next, if Captain Spray is on, Dee Dee, are you on the line right now?
Yes, I am.
Hi there. Good evening. Dee Dee, would you mind giving us an update on how we're doing with our command center operations and this basically the EMS and fire response? How are things looking?
You know, things right now are going very well. Our main role and our main goal right now is to make sure our EMS providers and fire personnel are trained, up to date on all the newest and greatest that's coming out and changing often. What our protocols are. We've changed a lot of our response methods and procedures. We're not responding with our, 10 to 15 folks like the community is used to. We've really limited that to limit our exposure. We are challenged by the telephonic meeting source and sending out emails back and forth about training and changes to our protocols. But that seems to be going really well right now. As far as the EOC role, I believe right now it's a matter of getting the information from the state and getting it out to the community as quickly as possible as things are changing. So I feel like we're staying on top of that. Getting posters out, getting stuff out via our social medias, and I believe NICFL is working very well. At last count, we had 388 community members signed up in the NICFL program via email, and I believe it was 375 that are receiving our messages via text message. So that was very encouraging, and that changes up from only 59 last Sunday. So they're looking good. I do want to just remind folks of the mandate that was sent out as an advisory last night to the community that goes into effect at 12:01 tonight, and that is for any members returning to the community or any travelers coming from outside of the state of Alaska or coming into Wrangell. They're mandated to have a 14-day quarantine. And that quarantine is much different than before in that they are only allowed to go to medical doctor's appointments and anything medical related. But other than that, they want folks to stay home. It's no longer, please keep your distance and you can be out and about. It's much more strict. And if you haven't gotten an opportunity to look over those mandates, you can go to coronavirus.alaska.gov and find all of the most recent alerts, health alerts and mandates issued. I do want to totally nothing to do with the fire department, but I want to put out a kudos to the grocery store for opening up their specific hours to our elders. I really appreciate that. I know they're we're putting it's a hindrance on them not being able to go out and socialize like they're used to. So at least having something available to them. So I really appreciate that for those guys. And for the entire community, I would just like to stress we're all home. We're not used to being home and cooking at home so much, maybe for some folks. And just to please take the second and check your smoke detectors. And let's all keep ourselves safe.
Thank you so much, Dee Dee. Just for the community, could you please point us in the right direction if folks want to sign up for NICFL?
Are
you still there?
Yeah, sorry about that. That can be found on our Wrangle website, wrangle.com. Over on the right-hand side of the website, there is a link to the registration. You can also text 888-777 on your cell phone and enter your zip code, and you can register for NICFL through that avenue as well.
Thank you so much. Does anybody have any questions for Dee Dee? Okay. Thanks, Dee Dee. Really appreciate your time and the department's efforts here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Police Chief, are you on the line? Tom, are you
on
the line there? Yeah, we got you now, Tom.
Okay.
We got you. Thank you. Tom, do you want to give us a little update from law enforcement standpoint and maybe emphasize what the new state law is stating regarding mandatory isolation after travel?
Yeah, I mean, law enforcement in Wrangell's taking an educational approach. We're trying to educate people. The last thing we want to do is issue any kind of citation or anything like that. So, you know, we've taken that educational role. We're at the airport when planes come in. We've been fielding complaints from the community about people maybe not understanding the rules regarding isolation. And we've reached out to certain people that, you know, have been reported to us. And again, in an educational role, we're not there as a confrontation or, you know, talking down to people. Everything, we're trying to be education and positive that way. So, you know, right now we're encouraging people to stay home as much as possible, obviously with the mandates from the council and from the state. There now is a more teeth into the violation from the governor that he put out that'll take effect early this morning. So there is a violation that can be written. However, we are taking an educational approach.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Any questions from the assembly for the police chief? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Borough manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you have just heard from the other three people who were on the line prior to me, it's coronavirus all day, every day. And that seems to be, unfortunately, the new normal. But we're doing that out of an abundance of precaution and caution to make sure that we are keeping our community safe. And from our point of view in the borough manager's office, we are dealing with things on the community level and planning for how we protect this community, what we do with regard to access to the community, whether it's enforcement for people coming in via air traffic, folks coming in through our port, whether it's folks coming in through our harbors, and looking at a number of different issues. The most critical thing that is coming up is as a home rule municipality, like many others around the state, we have been interested in and have wanted to create mandates here, as other communities have, that go above and beyond what the state mandates are. And the travel mandate that was issued by the governor last night clearly stated in it that it superseded any other mandate at the local level. And so, interestingly enough, the municipalities around the state and the attorneys for the municipalities around the state are meeting to try to figure out what our authorities are, because the circumstances at each community are changing, sometimes minute by minute, hour by hour, and our ability to protect our citizens is paramount, and we have to have the power to be able to do so. So I spoke with our attorney today, just shortly before the meeting. He will be online with a group of attorneys municipal attorneys from across the state tomorrow, and will be calling me with an update as soon as that meeting is over, hoping to know more about where our authorities lie, and I will be sure to get that out to the assembly and from there out to the public as well. There are some other things going on. related to the coronavirus. The SEPA annual maintenance run that normally happens in the spring has been postponed to the fall. We're looking at the end of August through the early part of September for Tyee maintenance, and toward the end of September for the inner tie maintenance. So it looks like a couple of different weeks of a diesel run in the fall instead of the spring. Joyce has been busily, our finance director has been busily working on pulling budget stuff together. She is also doing a review and making some assumptions for this year's budget, given the fact that we will have reduced economic activity in the community and therefore reduced tax revenue, sales tax revenue. So we will be meeting, she and I will be meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow to talk about some of those things, and we'll be getting information out to the assembly. The other thing we are going to be doing is working with our assessor to postpone the BOE, the
Board of Equalization.
The Board of Equalization, yes, thank you. And protests or concerns that people might have over their property taxes. The assessors may not even be able to get into town to look at people's homes. We may have to do stuff electronically over the internet via pictures. And so we are looking at changing those dates, but we will have to work within the mandates of state statutes there potentially as well. So look forward to maybe some postponements there. Given what's going on, I mentioned this at our last meeting, we are likely dropping from an attempted 2-year budget to a 1-year budget, and we may have to amend the schedule as well, depending upon what's going on, but we will post it. We are also working on alternative staffing schedules for our staff to make sure that we are able to social distance at all of our workplaces. And we will keep you, that's a little bit fluid over the next couple of days, but as soon as we get that finalized, we will get it out to everyone so that they understand. And I don't know if the assembly is aware, or the community is aware, that last week Congress passed the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which speaks specifically to leave requirements for businesses and public entities that have 50 or more employees, and the requirement of paid leave associated with folks who meet specific requirements, have to take leave specifically related to the coronavirus pandemic. If anybody has any questions about that, I'm happy to answer it, but I won't get into the weeds of that. Just know that there are certainly implications for us here at the borough. And the next thing, just I think the final thing that I will say is we have worked to put a continuity of operations plan in place specifically for myself and the borough clerk, and for our EOC manager, emergency manager, Dorianne Spray. And so we will get that out to the assembly as well so that everybody knows what that continuity of management plan is in case one of us should get sick or have to step down for a short period of time. And I think that's all I've got right now, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any questions for the city manager? Okay. Hearing none. Borough clerk's report, it says you don't have one today.
I don't know.
You're good there, Kim?
I was
you're a little busy, I know. Mayor and Assembly business. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I'm sorry. I didn't know if it was proper timing to ask a question. Some information that was in the Borough Manager's report in the packet, particularly the Institute property status report.
Yep, absolutely. That's a great time to ask now, Julie.
Okay, thank you. I had a question about the timing with the RFP for the survey moving forward. And just because of issues with travel and how that might affect moving forward with any survey, I was wondering if it might be an option to explore the potential, I guess, to, I don't know exactly how this would work, but maybe extend the contract that we had with Corvus and R&M Engineering to do that survey work. I believe that that R&M has a surveyor in Wrangell. So they wouldn't have to travel to get that accomplished. So I'm just trying to think through the next few months and the likelihood of people traveling and maybe, you know, complications related to that.
Right. I fully recognize that what's in the report there is wishful thinking with regard to people being able to come to town. You're absolutely correct. And survey work is considered a professional service, so it actually is one of those things in our procurement code that is exempted from having to do a competitive procurement if there is a legitimate reason why there one firm may be better qualified than another. And certainly proximity to town in these circumstances is one of those. So we'll take the availability as of the surveyor to do that work.
Okay, thank you.
Great idea.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anything for Lisa? And Kim doesn't have a report tonight. Mayor and Assembly business. Anybody have a report for these?
I'm sorry, Maya? Mr. Mayor. May I? Yes. I just want to say thank you for the inclusion of the Google 360 breakdown in this. I just look up. It's a great time for businesses to be taking a look at our web presence. So I just want to say thank you, Carol, for putting us together and including that in the report.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Julie. Ann, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it was Ann. Yeah. Let me see now. See, that's what happens. Your mind takes a runner. I had put a note into Lisa earlier today just that we need to keep our ears and eyes open with everything that's coming out of Washington, D.C. right now and the different forms of funding. We need to be looking at our shovel-ready projects because, as what's-his-name said, you know, never waste a crisis. But there might be money coming for municipalities. You know, not immediately because our immediate concern are the families and the people, but just something to keep in mind for our safety building maybe.
Point.
And, you know, sometimes those things kind of sneak in under the wire, and if we're just all listening, maybe we should check into that. So, and I certainly didn't mean to lay it on Lisa because she's got plenty to do, but there are seven of us that can keep our ears and eyes open.
For sure. I agree. Thank you, Ann.
Mr. Mayor, this is Patty.
Go ahead, Patty.
I just have a real quick report on the Inner Island Ferry Authority. Tomorrow we're having a board meeting, but I just wanted to remind Wrangell that the IFA was deemed a critical infrastructure by the governor and must remain running. And if or when passenger travel is suspended, the IFA will run on a limited basis to provide needed supplies, commerce, and services. And tomorrow we are also going to sign an MOU with the American Red Cross to provide services during emergency evacuations. So there's some effort on the part of IFA to gear up for this disaster we're all in.
Mr. Mayor, if
Go
I
ahead,
may just
Lisa.
Follow on to that. Although the Inner Island Ferry may be deemed critical, apparently the Alaska Marine Highway is not. And I was on a meeting today where the Lituya, which is actually running or had been running between Ketchikan and
Metlakatla,
thank you. I apologize. I'm losing the brain. Is going into layup.
Jeez.
So, it never ends. Apparently, there is one. We've got one ferry running. Haynes did report that they're getting a ferries now. So they've got appears as if Lynn Canal is online, but that'll be it in the state.
And, of course, Patty, the irony of all this is we were just in Juneau talking about the importance of the ferry system in terms of disaster response, and literally 2.5, 3 months later, here we are. It's just It's incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyone else with a report for the assembly?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
I just wanted to report as a part of my job working for Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, I've spearheaded just an initial meeting conversation between Southeast Conference, Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, and the Pacific Species Processors Association to start conversations.